Thank you for supporting Rise Above TV Radio, where we are empowering humanity and supporting unity. You're listening to Conscious Convos with Janie, the Mindfulness Coach, the safe haven where we mindfully explore and unfold the complexities of life. Today, I'm grateful to have Chris Garcia, also known as Chris the Curator. You can check out his podcast called True Social. So tell me a little bit about Chris the Curator, because I know you do some podcast work too and are really involved in the community and gathering artists and just spreading the message of positivity and optimism.
Yeah, me and a couple of guys here in Austin, because I live in Austin, Texas, we got together and we met up for lunch one day and just had a real good conversation about dating, relationships, and life. And we're like, you know what, this will be a good podcast. And at that point we're like, well, let's put it together. So we called it True Social, and it's basically talking about authenticity and being authentic in today's modern world. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where that Chris the Curator came from, because they were adamant that we wanted to give everybody titles. And like I got one of my buddies is Drew, and he's Drew the Gemini, and then of course Carlos, AKA Mr. Domain, and the Domain is an area here in Austin. We just have really good conversations, and we invite people on to be guests to talk about their lives and kind of what's going on in regards to just different generations. I think every generation's got different experiences that they're going through. Me being Gen X, there's different probably backgrounds and histories that I have that aren't exactly the same as a Gen Y or a millennial. Mm-hmm. And now we're coming across what I think is what Gen Z, you know, it's just kind of weird, but I've been doing the podcast for about 2 months now. Lisa, who you know, has been helping me with not only marketing ideas, but also her son, who's doing really well in the music industry. And we're building a brand here called Canvas. And so one of the things that we want to present to the world is new artists and in a manner that's not as boring as some of these other galleries, but in the environment of bars and restaurants and just different venues that could be looked at as more appealing to a younger market, younger demographic. Mm-hmm. And so we've been talking for a minute. Christian's been doing a great job just helping me with bringing some really good live music to the events that we do. And the reason I'm calling myself the curator is because I'm actually curating who's going to be a part of the events moving forward. And it's for the most part, we've been getting positive feedback, people walking away going, man, that was a great event. When's the next one? So I know that the proof of concept is on the right path. And so now we're just expanding on that, trying to build and find new artists that can help kind of present the brand to the world in a different manner, in a more unique and distinctive manner than just a gallery. You know what I mean?
Right. And also too, tying wellness to it and really igniting all the senses, making it like a multi-sensory experience. For people, which I think is also really cool, because art is healing, so it's kind of nice to be able to bring it and bridge it all together. And I think that a lot of people are craving, you know, real and raw and realness in people, and we're craving a deeper connection, but a lot of humanity has lost sight of how to really engage and connect in intimate ways. And I think people are wanting more places to be able to commune with like-minded individuals that are wanting to get past division and experience unity and cooperation with others. And it's cool that y'all are doing what you're doing there in Austin. I know it's a huge artistic, creative city.
Well, and it is, and there's a lot of people here that have the desire, the natural, innate desire to present themselves to the world, kind of like those people that flock to L.A. because they wanted to be a movie star.
Yes.
And so what happens is, and this is an approach that it wasn't done haphazardly. It's an approach that's been working, and I think when people are at the event, they can kind of get the vibe. But think about this. It's people in your midst that are working on the craft, whether it be music, whether it be art, fine art, whether it be sculptures, but those
poetry,
everything. I mean, they're putting themselves out there. They're making themselves vulnerable. And so for everybody else that's in the space, they're like, man, that's actually really cool. They're showing who they are from a very soul level standpoint. And it enables people who have been living behind these facades for all these years, and you call it what you will, you know, your suit and tie and your different speak when you're at work than when you have your different speak when you're at home. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not living authentic as far as I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's two different personalities. I mean, and then you got maybe different speak when you're with your friends than when you're at home. I just, for me, it's always bugged me. And right. I don't know what it is, but I've never been that way. And maybe that's why me and corporate America never really got along. Because mm-hmm. I just say what's on the tongue, and I really don't let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
So they walk away going like, man, this is really cool. I like the vibe. I like the feeling. And hopefully it gives them the courage to start living an authentic life, because it's so much more rewarding and so much more freeing to just be who you are and not care what people think about what right. they think. You know
and
what I mean?
Yeah. And I think when people see others doing that through social media or at events like this, it gives them permission to be themselves. Exactly. And a lot of times where people can get a little stuck or get lost, it's like, well, who am I? You know, and I think that's the big start of a journey. What would you say for you living authentically? What does that really look like and feel like to you? What does that mean to be able to be yourself?
Well, the first thing is for me, I mean, to get to where I'm at right now, which I feel is way better than where I was 20 years ago, just as a matter of perspective, mm-hmm. I had to get to the point where I removed people that were in my energy mm-hmm. that I had to worry about. And that includes managers and supervisors mm-hmm. Because my energy was being spent on things that I wasn't passionate about. And it becomes stressful because I just don't care. Like, I'm putting energy to something that in the long run, it just really doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. So right. Whatever that might be, whatever if I'm pushing paper clips or selling pens, I'm just giving you the example. I was in the past, I was selling, prosthetics for like teeth, like the crowns and dentures and implants. Mm-hmm. And while I liked, you know, for the most part, working from home, doing sales, meeting dentists, I just didn't feel like, man, we're just going to get me in the legacy talk. Mm-hmm. Or where am I going to be on my deathbed? And somebody goes like, bro, you sold some really nice gold crowns when you were back in 19, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
So for me, I just had this debate of like, do I really want to do this? And when I finally had a meeting with the owner of the lab, it was 11/11, November the 11th, and it was all of his staff and management. I was like, please just fire me. Right. At that point, I just, and not only that, but I was frustrated because I was selling doctors and they were screwing everything up. And I'm like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't sell something I don't believe in. And mm-hmm. I do like sales just because it's more rewarding mm-hmm. and whatnot. So once I removed those, once we agreed to part ways, I spent about a year or two of just going straight into real estate, working for myself. But in the morning, doing jogs and putting in Tony Robbins and putting in Gary Vaynerchuk and putting in Les Brown and Bob Proctor. I mean, you name it. Right. I mean, I was getting hit on content every morning from different angles, from different people, Eric Thomas. And started to figure out what brought me happiness, because it sure wasn't selling crowns. And it even got to the point, is it really selling homes too? I mean, I feel rewarding when I sell a home, but is that where I want to leave, hang my head on when I end up, you know, on my deathbed?
Right.
I looked at life from reverse engineering, and I put myself in the deathbed for a reason. And I wanted to visualize how I saw myself, who was around my bed, and what I was hanging on the wall. And if there's nothing on there that I'm hanging on the wall that I'm proud of, then I'm doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I had to start thinking about actions I take today to figure out, okay, so I want people, hundreds or if not thousands, saying, man, that guy, I remember that dude. He was a good guy. He told me some things that helped change my life.
Right.
And I appreciate it. And I'm at this point today because of him. Or this girl that says, you know what, when I was down and out, you know, he helped me out. He gave me a hand up, not a handout. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I started saying, like, okay, well, I see where the world's at today. And I don't want to try and create words creating a bad reality, but the reality is I don't think there's a lot of love being spread. Mm-hmm. And from a mainstream media perspective, even more so, it's just more about hate. So that's where I started thinking about Canvas and how I wanted to create a name for myself through real estate by bringing love to the market. Like, I'll talk about selling houses, but at the same time, I'm going to tell you about how you should love one another and how we are all artists, and that we are going to create a life that's going to become a legacy. And that if you're going to be, you know, a legend in smaller terms, then it starts with every single moment that you're speaking, that you're talking, that you're walking. Every word out of your mouth is going to be recorded. And I believe in a higher power. I believe in a savior. And so for me, I want to be able, when I walk through those doors, for him to be like, all right, you did good. You know what I'm saying? You got that house. And Absolutely. So that's kind of how I kind of started to figure out what is authentic. It's being happy. It's being real. It's saying what's on your heart, no matter who's in front of you. Just so long as it's not,
mean
or mean spirited.
And I think being authentic, you were talking about love, self-love and self-care are a part of authenticity. And the overall goal is choosing to be around those and doing work that's going to fuel you. And not, like, completely suck the energy out of you. And whatever line of work you're in, like you said, how you show up in that job or in that field, that career, that business that you're starting, if you're a leader, if you're a coworker, it's like, how are you mentally and emotionally showing up daily in this space? And are you the kind that's tearing people down and causing havoc, you know? Or are you, like, building people up?
No, you're exactly right.
Yeah, and spreading that message of unity is big too. This idea that we need to respect each other and that golden rule of do unto others as you wish for them to do unto you. And I think that's a big part of a lot of the work that you're doing is you're really trying to embody certain virtues and principles so that you can inspire, encourage others to do the same.
Well, the thing is that it's for some reason become illegal to have a discussion. And it's like, okay, you can disagree with me. That doesn't mean I'm going to hate you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You, give me your rationale and I'll take it with a grain of salt and I'm not going to hate you on the other end. But but just speak out your truth. But the minute you start giving me slanders, the minute you start telling me I'm stupid, you've done lost the argument. I don't want to talk to you anymore because now you're just showing your ignorance and now I know I'm right.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
There's a high level of ignorance when one is not able to look at things like objectively.
And, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it's beyond, it's like I'm becoming to the point where I'm impatient with people who don't want to hear another side of a story. And all they want to do is go straight to like, let me smack you in the head with a freaking bat or something. It's like, if you want to be barbaric, go back to the 1800s or whatever, maybe, who knows, maybe they were back then less barbaric and more intellectuals. but we're acting like cavemen right now. And, you know, it's okay to have a discussion. But the thing is that when we can't have a discussion, nothing can get resolved. And so we've got these two chasms being, well, one chasm being built, two sides of the story, but nobody wanted to meet in the middle. And what I'm trying to do is say, look, I can meet you in the middle. I've got confidence in myself that I can defend my point. Just prove to me you can do the same. Right. And I'll sit and I'll listen to you as long as I can. But the minute you start going to directions that start to attack me personally, you're cut off. And at that point, I know that you're not going to be in the mix of people moving forward that are going to help make this place a better place. You're in the C bucket. You know, I'm looking for A people. I'm looking for people that are sharp, that are intellectual, that have self-confidence, that they may have a different viewpoint. I'm okay with it. I don't care. But give me a rationale so I know that you're actually having some critical thought and you're not just being an ignorant ignoramus about just, well, the TV told me that this was the case, so I'm going to say that. I'm like, this is, there's no more space for that anymore.
Yeah.
We're having an awakening right now and let the cream rise to the top and then let all the other stuff just kind of let them catch up down the road, but don't get in the way of progress.
Absolutely. And I think too, like, it's just so much easier to regurgitate, you know, information. And no one really takes the time to get curious and look at multiple sources of information, you know? And I do think, like, the end times of trusting everything that you see and hear on television and radio, I think people are finally starting to understand there needs to be a level of skepticism around
a bit about me. I haven't watched TV in about 20 years, and I'm being completely honest. The only TV I watch is the Spurs. Cowboys and whatever else. I used to watch the Ghost Hunters. But aside from that, everything. I mean, especially the news. I learned to stop watching the news back when I was like 20 years old or something like that. Because every time I watch the news, I'm like, at first I didn't know why I was feeling that way. But now that I know I'm an empath, I'm like, oh, that's why I felt so terrible. But you start hearing about babies being killed and car accidents and two people murdered. I'm like, okay, I'm cutting you off because there's nothing positive coming from any of that stuff. Exactly. So those who still listen to the news because it gets their little negative fix, I'm praying for you.
Right.
Get over it. Let it go. You don't have to be like the world is falling apart every single day. I know that there's some issues going on, but don't add to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, our society, especially here in America, and I go back, I mean, think about it back from kindergarten through 12th grade, then to going to college. None of that education has ever taught you to be introspective, never taught you to think critically. I mean, the think critical part was like writing, when we have writing assignments, and that was one of the hardest things you could do was, okay, this is our objective. This is our topics, you know, and then you have to write objectively. They've completely eradicated that from our education system. Now it's like Scantrons and it's like multiple choice, but it's because they don't want us to understand who we really are, because the more that the system has the power, they can control and manipulate a population. Mm-hmm. They don't do a lot of writing assignments anymore. They do some writing. They don't tell you how to be introspective. They don't teach you how to think about what's inside you and how you can think and how to meditate and pray. And so we've removed all these little boundaries of morals, and there's nobody has a compass anymore when it comes to what's right and wrong. It's made it to where, oh, just be who you are so long as, you know, you're doing what you want. It's almost like this big lie that's placed our kids into this state of entitlement that we're now seeing at the college level and these young professional levels. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows how to work for what they want. But then when they do work for what they want, they don't know what they want because they don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. They're just still kind of trying to figure out. And then we ask questions about divorce and why is divorce so high? Because you don't know who the hell you are. Yeah. The chick that you married a dude that was different than they are now 2 years later, because now you're evolving into the person you're supposed to be. And mm-hmm. she doesn't like you anymore. Mm-hmm. You're like, and he's saying, well, I'm just happier doing this. And she's like, well, I wanted you to do this when you were this way. And he's like, well, I'm learning now that that was a facade. That wasn't really me. Well, then it's like, well, you know what? Let's part ways.
Right.
How are we getting to the situation? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like I would say how it's very easy to fall in love, but it's a whole nother thing when you step into it. And people are forgetting how to have, like, I call it real relationships, R-E-A-L, you know, mm-hmm. because we don't know how to be ourselves, which goes back to not being authentic and mm-hmm. putting all these masks. And then really what relationship is, or marriage, is a place, it should be a safe haven for you to really be able to be yourself.
Right.
And so that's where all the confusion and the conflict starts to arise, when people start to transform. And then one starts to maybe want to evolve when the other one wants to stay the same and not change. And then people end up going their separate ways. Most people don't realize there's a void within themselves, and relationships tend to be the thing that we think will fill the void. We're not really complete and whole going into partnerships, and that's where we're like missing the mark.
No, but think about it. But see, if you look at the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and you're looking at what people are trying to fulfill by entering some of these relationships, there's a lot of girls out there that are like at the base level of just, you know, security of just feed me. You know, well, this guy makes this much money, so at least my bills are paid. And then she expects him to like respect her when he kind of knows in the back of his head, you're just with me because I've got money. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. I'm only providing like some basic needs. And the woman goes into it already setting the bar there. But then eventually she realizes, well, I have mental and emotional needs too. And they're right. Like, well, that really wasn't part of the deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then she starts to maybe ask him for that. And maybe he's so shallow that all he's wanting is a little trophy wife. And then in the back of her head, she's insecure. She's like, well, he's going to replace me the minute he mm-hmm. finds a younger one. And you know what? You're right. mm-hmm. You're going to find that to be the truth, because you entered that relationship based on bullshit to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're mad because he says, you know what? I got a younger model. I'm going to trade you in now. What do you mean? Well, yeah, this was kind of the deal, the arrangement that we created. If you in your heart know that you're there because you just need his money, then it's only your fault for letting it go so long and not doing what you're supposed to do, doing your inner work, trying to make your own money, being self, you know, preserving, self-sufficient, mm-hmm. So that you can be in the right space and the right mindset to meet the right person, because now you're on the same frequency level. Now you're resonating and the law of attraction kicks in. You meet somebody that completely comes to you. Now you're not living a codependent life where you're depending upon this dude to be like your piggy bank. Now you're living a independent life where you've got your life, he's got his life, but you're just there together because it's convenient. You're living an interdependent life, and you're there because you're both happy. And then when you get together, you're even happier. If you're asking me to make you happy because you're not whole, that's beyond, I'm not doing that. Next. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we fall into these roles sometimes where we try to be that for a person, you know, and we end up enabling them and then sacrificing our needs and wants and desires. And
right.
We lack respect and, you know, and then it just becomes like a pool of mushy goo and a vicious cycle. It's like a lot of trauma bonding is taking place, right?
It is.
You know what I mean? And that's another reason why this self-work is so important in kind of discovering, why am I attracting individuals that cannot emotionally be there for me, you know, and then going back and reflecting on patterns and cycles, maybe, you know, and connecting the dots and seeing what are the commonalities and getting somebody to help you along the way understand it all if you can't do it on your own.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
As we start to kind of wrap it up, you've been at this work for a really long time on yourself. What would you say has been the most important part of your self-care practices in order for you to stay on this path, on the conscious path?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think the first thing that came to mind is that whenever a toxic person enters my universe, I give them a couple opportunities to prove that they're not going to remain toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to learn, like in the past, I gave them too many opportunities. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. And you got to learn to get to a point where you just have to cut them off. And look, I try to help you. I understand that you're on a path and a journey, but I think you're on a journey that's not at the same path or wavelength of mine. And you're bringing me down. And because typically when you've got two resonance, two frequencies, a lot of times it's going to be the average of the two. And instead of me going down, I want to go up. Right. So as I'm finding people to be in my circle, if you're not resonating at least at my level or higher, or even a little bit below mine, I'm okay with that. But show me that you've got the wherewithal, the wheelhouse, the willpower to come up. Because if you don't come up after a couple of different tries, you're not bringing me down with you. It's not going to happen. And I know you want to use my energy, and I've just used it. I've seen it before where people just suck off my energy. And by the 10th time, this is when I was younger, I'm like, either this girl or this guy is using my energy. And it's like, it's not even about what they can give. It's about what they can take. And it's never been about. And then you look back and you're like, damn, they've never given. It's always been take. And how the hell was I so blind not to see that? You know what I mean? Like hindsight 2020, and you start kind of become self-aware and you self-discover. And you're like, oh, wow, I am giving people's energy. I'm just giving my energy away just to people that don't deserve it half the time.
Right. And it's that equal respect of reciprocation. You start to see where the scales are uneven, and then you get to course correct, you know, because oftentimes we wait and expect others to change, and a lot of times they won't, you know, and then we have to make those decisions.
There's people sometimes, and it's maybe we need to think about this whole situation, but some people are on this earth, and I'm not saying everybody, but maybe some, just to take. And maybe it's a life lesson that people need to go through to understand that you can't always give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Some people are there to destroy. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but there are certain people that I've met in the past that I'm like, dude, there's nothing good in you. And it's pathetic to say that, but it's also true. And I'm not saying that lightly. And this is after like being burnt and just hearing words out of their mouths and seeing how they act, especially when they're drunk, and you're like, you're just a mean person is what you are.
Right. And all these individuals that are coming from this space have clearly been pained in multiple ways or in a certain way that has caused them to see and live life from that dark place,
That's true. There might be, there's probably a gray area too.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that even though something has happened to them that caused them to feel that way, we have to at some point take accountability or responsibility for how we're showing up. And if how we're showing up is due to some imprints or indoctrinations or, you know what I mean, trauma that happened to us when we were younger or any point in our life that caused us to be very bitter and jaded and to be greedy and to just be a taker, you know, there has to be some work there, but those people have to see it for themselves and want to change for themselves. People like us, we see them and then we're like, oh, I'm going to keep giving them the benefit of the doubt, like you said, and we want to help them. And it's like, some people just want to drown, you know?
They just want to drown. That's their normal.
That's their default system.
That's the way they know they're alive.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Pain and suffering is like an addiction for a lot of people.
Anything else other than that is uncomfortable. And that's where self-sabotage comes into play. And that's something that, hell, even on my end, I'm like, am I self-sabotaging myself right now?
Right. Because
you start seeing good things going in the right direction, and you're like, I'm doing this. And so you got to reprogram your subconscious. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes from just when you were like 2, 3, 4 years old, and you have this inner voice that you feel like you don't deserve good things. And so you self-sabotage, and you're like, oh, I don't deserve that, or I shouldn't have that. And maybe because of guilt from things in the past. So I've got to the point now where I'm having my inner voice. I'm conscious of my consciousness.
Yes, totally.
I'm thinking of my thoughts. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like we're at a place in our journey now where we've come to really understand the ego side of self, you know, like our shadow side of self, the self-saboteur, the self-critic. And then we also have the spirit self, the soul self, you know, the higher self, people call it. And when you can decipher between those two voices and learn how to have healthier self-talk,
right?
That's huge. And it's daily. You know, people think that enlightenment is this place that you arrive and then it's like a final destination. And it's like, no, not at all.
It is daily. Because remember, you're still living in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's still traffic. There's still
HEB.
There's still lines.
Yes.
Yeah, so... you've got to rise above, and I don't mean to use your title of your
no,
your
but name. I'm glad you use it, and that's why I called it that, because there's so much that we have to rise above as individuals, collectively, as humanity, you know, but it's possible to rise above limitations, you know, and rise above our past and rise above obstacles and challenges, rise above our differences and things like this.
And I guess the last thing that you're asking about will help me get into a framework where I could really start to see who I am and where I want to go
your healing tools,
read the good word, get into scripture and understand that that's the best book in the world. I'll be honest with you. And there's a lot of books out there. That's still the bestseller. And I know that people are talking about like, well, that was tainted by the Constantine and all this other, you know, I've already gone into all that stuff. Zeitgeist, all that. I've looked into all those rabbit holes. There's still one truth, and that there was one Savior, and I've met him. I'm telling you, it's crazy. So when you have the story of saying like, man, I just met the man, you know, one truth.
Yeah, you had an experience.
It's always been like, okay, look, Chris, I know you're going to get hit by different stories, but when you go down those rabbit holes, you still find out that he's still true. I'm talking Dead Sea Scrolls. I'm talking like all those ancient scriptures, the Septuagint, you know, it all leads to like, okay, still read the word. Know that if the Creator wants to put out the word, he's going to put out the word. Don't think people are going to just go and just change it. There will be some like little tweaks here and there by maybe Constantine or different, you know, Vatican, whatever.
Yeah, they had political agendas. So I would like to go to like the Hebrew version of the Bible.
Yeah, the Hebrew version is good.
Yeah, because when you start to see some of the translations, you're like, wait, that can really change context here.
Exactly.
And if people don't know the etymology or meaning of what that word meant back then to these people, then that's where there's a lot of loss in translation, I guess you could say, with a lot of this stuff. So
just getting wisdom. Just getting wisdom. Because you're not going to get wisdom from the world right now. The world's just giving you nothing but idiocracy.
Yeah, junk. So. I love that word. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think people could really take heed in some of the things that you shared. Is there an individual right now that you're really resonating with, or a book? Or
yeah.
A podcast?
So the one that I really resonate with is Ed Mylett, M-Y-L-E-T-T. And he's also a Christian. He's very, very wealthy. He's done well for himself. And one of the things that really resonated with me that Ed talked about, and he's on YouTube. I do a lot more video than I read, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah,
me too. More powerful. You hear the inflection. You hear the energy behind the words. And you really can sense their conviction. So for me, it's just way more effective than just reading it. Because for me, reading it, I feel like it's boring. But one thing that Ed Mylett said, and I've been listening to Ed Mylett for about maybe 2 years now. But he said that when he had an epiphany, when he went to work at a boys' school, like it was like a foster program. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I think, 12 kids that he was responsible for. And he really just got humbled in seeing that there was other people out there in the world that were just not doing as well as you. At least for him, he had two parents that cared about him. He had meals, you know, served mm-hmm. at his home every day. And it's just a matter of like understanding that don't always make it about yourself. Mm-hmm. If all you're thinking about is what's in it for me, where can I succeed? Where am I? If everything in your dialogue is about I, you're going to be miserable. What he learned is he was helping those kids being like their big brother, but also sometimes like their male role model. Mm-hmm. And he noticed how much he affected their lives. And even like to this day, he's still in touch with the two or three of them that he's very close to. Mm-hmm. But even after all the money, when he started to grow his business in financial services, he made it about others first. And when he did that, that the tweak in his approach, mm-hmm. his business just blossomed. And so when you understand that you make others first before yourself, mm-hmm. the universe, i.e. God, provides. Is going to pay you back so much more than what you could have got just working for yourself.
Absolutely.
And so, because it's exponential. And that's where my frustration comes into play, and that's why I built Canvas and I'm trying to build this new business model of 10% of all revenues, is because, prime example, you got San Francisco with the worst homeless population in the country. Mm-hmm. And it is the most expensive housing market in the country. You look at all those companies that are making $25 billion a year, $12 mm-hmm. billion dollars a year, and in their own backyard, there's people starving. That tells me they don't give a shit.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? And if it's not government that's the problem, it's business that's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's point the finger at the right culprit. It's the business. You're greedy. Mm-hmm. You're greedy and you're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your $5 million bonus at the end of the year instead of the people that could use your money for better things than what your freaking yacht's going to be for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
that's the frustration that comes into play. And that's where Canvas is different. The foundation, the premise that the whole thing is built on is we're going to make money by spreading love, but the money we make is going to go back into the system of love, of volunteering, of helping people understand that they are loved and they're cared for. Because you can go give somebody a plate of free food, but a hug sometimes is way more important and way more effective.
Can you imagine if all of us lived from that space, the world would look very different. And I think that's why your organization, your program, the things that you're working on, we're just doing whatever we can to be the change we want to see in the world.
Well, I'm excited about where it's going, and hopefully you'll be a part of it in any way, shape, or form in regards to content or collaboration. But there's so much hate in the world. We need to teach people again the basic habits of how to go ahead and just give somebody a hug or give somebody a plate of food or just be nice.
Altruism, you know, like reviving mm-hmm. altruism and really instilling that into people, especially young people. You know, I think it's important. We're definitely on the same wavelength. I'm looking forward to working with you in the near future. And I want to thank you again for your time today on Conscious Combos.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to let people know how they can connect with you.
I do a lot of Facebook. I don't do a lot of Instagram, but it's just Chris Garcia. I'm the bald guy on there. And then I do real estate both in Austin and San Antonio. So if people are looking to either buy or sell a house, they can definitely call me direct. My number is 512-820-1610. I've done that for about 4 years. I did mortgages. So I'm all pretty well seasoned and experienced in the real estate world. So, and that helps feed my son and pay the bills at the same time.
Awesome.
But thanks for having me on here. I really appreciate it. You're working on something that's going to be very powerful moving forward. I can tell that your heart's in the right place.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to Conscious Combos and for supporting our mindfulness endeavors at Rise Above TV. Till next time, be mindful and be well.